Hey, welcome into A Tribe Called Dad. My name is DJ Hoppe. I am excited that you are here. Today's episode features myself and Seth talking about health. All about how do we stay healthy? How do we keep our kids healthy? Especially when kids are sick. How do you stay healthy and maintain wellness as a dad? I hope you enjoy this episode. Let's go. Here we go. We are talking all about health. I mean, there's so much to dig into when we're talking about health, but I think more specifically, one of our comrades, Lucas, is down and out right now. He's under the weather, and we wanted to figure out, like, what can we share about health and how to stay healthy as a dad? And obviously, this conversation can go all sorts of different ways. A lot of times, especially for new parents, that maybe your kids are just starting school, they're bringing home all sorts of things. It's really difficult, man. Like, you know, you see these kids running around the playground with runny noses and wiping their nose on their sleeve. And you're just like, don't touch my kid. But yeah, man, I just wanted to get into this. Seth is here. We're talking about health. Seth, when we talk about what are ways for dads to stay healthy, I think what's the one of the first things that your mind goes to in terms of maybe your own regimen?
Okay, yeah. My own regimen is a secret weapon is naps. Like taking
a nap. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So for me, we have a five-year-old and we're still trying to eke out every single nap opportunity we can still get out of her. And she resists every time, but I'd say 2 to 3 days, maybe a week, we get her to at least lay down and see if she'll fall asleep kind of a thing. And it's just an opportunity for everyone to just quiet down. But I typically don't take naps during the week. That, if I could have any superpower, honestly, that would probably be what it is to take a 20-minute nap like whenever I want. But I do make a practice of trying to get at least one nap on the weekend as a way just to like just to recharge that hour and a half, 2 hours that I didn't get during the week. And so for me, that's the hugest thing that I use to try to, it's really sleep. If I can sleep,
how much sleep are you getting on a regular, like what do you feel like your average night of sleep is?
That's so good. My mom asked me, what do I want for Christmas? And I was like, I want an Aura ring so I can know that.
I got one right here.
Okay.
Like, this is not a paid ad, by the way. I didn't set you up for that.
Yeah. Oh, my.
It's good.
I'm striving for 8. I probably get 7, 7.5 on average. Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. You know?
But I think historically it's actually not that great. Like as humans, if you think of like farming and agrarian cultures, like they were getting like 10 hours. It's like going to bed, like just after dark, waking up before, like, and it was like a good solid 9, 10 hour rest. So anyway, you're right. Comparatively now it's decent, but long, you know, over.
You know what? That's true. It definitely is all relative. And it's one of those things that, you know, maybe I need to shift my mindset. Cause you know, at some point maybe I've been brainwashed to think that eight hours is the golden number, you know, like, I mean, we hear this in our society. I used to, and I say used to because I'm very proud of myself for some of the work I've done in this area, but I used to brag and boast about the lack of sleep and how little sleep I would get and how much I could function off of very little sleep. And now as I've gotten older and wiser, I realize that I was just full of it, man. Like, like you need sleep. You need sleep. Your body needs sleep. You need to recharge for sure. Yeah. I think one little thing that I'll put here is, we got a little one right now, and he stays up till midnight sometimes. We haven't been nearly as strict on the sleep training with him, but you know, it's still a challenge. And for anybody who's in that super newborn phase, you know, you hear that as a cliche, you know, that you're not going to get sleep for 2 years or whatnot. And it's true. It's like incredibly difficult to find that time. Obviously, you know, baby's waking up at all different hours and you're having to do all of that. You can function off of, a, you know, less sleep, but I feel like you're better off. And I feel like the human body performs better just overall with more rest. And I think napping is the key. I agree, man. If I could get into a rhythm where I could just like take a nap, that would help a lot. That would help with a lot of things.
Especially in your stage, man, where you do have broken sleep in the night and stuff. You know, getting that 20-minute, 45-minute nap is massive. The reason I'm all preaching nap is I read this book, Take a Nap, Change Your Life.
And, oh, there you go.
And you can actually design different naps at different times of the day for different lengths of time to get different restoration. So if you want like creative restoration, that's sort of like a different nap. If you want like body restoration, like physical muscle recharge, like you can do different times. So yeah, there's,
dude, that's a whole other episode.
Yeah,
like that's a whole nother, and that's good. We should go there because I want to know more about naps and how that all works. But yeah, I've heard, and since you've done a bit more research than I have, what is the ideal time, length of time to take a nap? Because I've heard 20 minutes and increments of 20 minutes is the sweet spot, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, the book goes into detail on it. And to quote my mentor, he would say something like, well, it depends on your goal, you know, like, and right. So, but yeah, like, I think what you're saying is like, how do you take a nap, get refreshed and don't feel groggy? Like some people say they take a nap and they feel worse. And I think sometimes that happens because, there's certain sleep cycles that you have to be sort of in tune with. And then I think one of the sleep cycles, and I'm not an expert here, is right around that like 18 to 20 minute mark. So that's like, if you can get that, that's a nice little etch a sketch shake where it just like clears the slate, brings you back, you know, without that kind of groggy feeling.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Love that. I would say maybe some other things that I think of when I think about, you know, staying healthy as a dad, and these may sound super obvious, but I feel like just being able to get outside and be able to, you know, get some sunshine, you know, get some vitamin D, be able to walk around, be able to take in fresh air, you know, get your body moving, you know, and not even full on like, oh, go to the gym several times a week and like this is the type of work that you need to do, but literally just being able to go outside and go for a walk and to get that in, I feel like that helps a lot in my own experience. I feel like that's super important for me, and not even just from just a health perspective, but also just for the mental, you know.
Yeah that's huge. I remember when I had COVID, my sister-in-law is a homeopath, and she said, I kept feeling so crappy, and she's like, you got to get up and move, like, because your body wants to move the stuff out of you, and as much as you don't want to move, like just a little 5-10 minute walk just helps so much. But another point to that is, I think, you know, whenever you hear about a protocol for colds or anything like that, vitamin D is like at the top of the list, like if you're going to be supplementing with anything. And another way to get vitamin D is just to be outside, right? So if you're not getting outside time, like you're compromising your immunity for sure.
Sounds like we all need to be in sunny places. That's the key.
Yeah, totally.
No, I also would say, are you a vitamin taker? Because I don't know, and maybe this is just, you know, me tricking my own mind into things, but I feel like as soon as something starts to come up, you know, in our house, we start, you know, loading up on the emergency packs, you know, those little, like those little packages or whatever, or like the airborne and like we start giving the kids that, we start taking it. And yes, it has vitamins in it for sure. But I definitely think there's also an element of like, oh, cool, I'm taking something. I'm raising my immune system. Yeah. I'm going to fight this thing. Yeah.
Totally. I'm taking action.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I traditionally haven't been a supplements guy, although I'm seeing a nutritionist for some anxiety stuff. So there's a couple like adrenal things that I'm kind of trying out, which has been helpful. But when it comes to like somebody's getting sick, or you got that scratchy feeling in your throat, you feel like you got something coming on,
Yeah.
Like we got homeopathy stuff, so we'll hit this homeopathy protocol called Aconite, and that's like a quick start, like instigate your immune defenses. And then it's vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, and like elderberry syrup. And like, so I'll just pound that for a couple of days. And I've had great success with like kind of stating it off, like assuming I'm honoring my body and resting. Like if I don't honor my body and keep pushing it, then the body's like, whatever, I can't help you here.
you know, it's crazy. I actually feel like I'm almost like the opposite. I've had... To a degree, right? Like, because if I push too hard, then the whole thing, you know, crash and burn. But I feel like typically when I've gotten sick, for the most part, in the last several years, it's because I've slowed down. And when I slow down, then all of a sudden it's like, bang, we gotcha. So I feel like sometimes it's just like, man, keep moving. Because if I keep moving, it's going to miss me. You know, I'm just over here. I'm over here dodging it. I'm like the Matrix, like dodging it. I feel like, well, we both have multiple kids too, right? So here's a question I have for you. What happens when one of the kids is sick? Is it pretty much a given that then all of the kids will be sick and everybody, it'll run its course through the whole family? Or have you been able to, you know, quarantine one kid or whatever and be able to save the rest of them?
Yeah. I feel like it's at least like two of the three get hit like every time, you know, like maybe one will make it through kind of a thing. But our kids do jujitsu, so they're like every day just rolling in people's sweat. And so it's like they're like a little it's like a petri dish of possibility, you know. But some things we try to do, we'll try to do like a sick bathroom and a non-sick bathroom. So it's like so the person that's not feeling well or whatever, kid, just use that when they take the shower, do all their things in there. And then, so that has been helpful. And then just washing hands as much as we can. And then just doing preventative things. Like we'll try to slow the pace of the family down a little bit just so that we can bump up the rest a little bit. Like we start saying no to things on the calendar. Like, sorry, we're not going to do that. Yep. You know, like just to kind of lower the intensity a little bit. And that tends to help. But it's kind of
for sure.
Yeah.
We have something that I, you know, maybe this is helpful for somebody who's listening. We have something that we've started to call sloth time. And sloth time is just like, and it's more for the kids, but sometimes we need the sloth time too, like back to the whole nap thing. Sure. Right. But literally, even if you don't sleep, even if you're just on your back watching TV or just like lounging out, like sloth time, like not running around the house, not doing anything crazy, but literally being able to slow it down. And so we have this term, sloth time, in our family, and the kids know what that is. They know, all right, cool, I need to chill out and have some time for their bodies to catch up. And then, you know, I just feel like it's tough, man, especially with, you know, kids, you know, back to school. I know that you guys homeschool, but like my kids, I mean, their school is a petri dish, like, you know, I mean, and there's times where I get a little bit frustrated with parents who are sending their kids to school sick.
Yeah.
At the same time, I do have some grace for people because not everybody has the ability to like have your 7-year-old, like you can't have your 7-year-old stay home by themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And if you've got to go to work, I mean, that's just really tough. You know, in a perfect world, it would be awesome where, you know, kid is sick. That means parent stays home, works from home. Nobody goes to school. Nobody goes to work. Everybody's, you know, all good. Let's focus on health first. And that would be great. But in reality, yeah, I mean, sometimes I go and pick up my kids and it literally is that you're just like, oh, you were just hanging out with, she's coughing. Oh, that's a pretty bad cough. Come here, sanitize your hands. Like, let's go. Let's wash you down. You know, but it's incredibly challenging, I think, to try to do that. Do you believe that there is immunity that is built up for kids, like when they when they get sick, that like that's also natural and sort of par for the course? Is that part of your mindset?
Yeah, totally. I remember when our oldest daughter Scout, she was like just under, she was like one and some change, and she had her first like big fever, and it was like it was like 101, 102, 103, right? Mm. And then we're literally on the phone with the nurse and we're like, this thing's at 104, right? Like, and she's like, let it run its course. Like when it hits 105, you bring her in, but like, she like 104, like this thing. And it just, it like, you know, hovered and touched 104 and then came back down. And, and based on what we've learned is that like, those are the moments that really strengthen that immunity system. Like, and if your body can take care of it on its own, relatively uninhibited, like, which is kind of why we subscribe a little bit to the homeopathy stuff. Like it learns how to go, prevent those things and to be stronger. And so like our kids, they'll be sick, but they won't be sick like for like weeks on end. It'll be like a 24-hour thing. And then it's like, we're kind of back, right? Like, not everything is like that, but I would say for most of the colds we get, it's under like 48 hours. And then we're kind of like on the mend again.
But. Yeah. I mean, that is such a scary thing. And, you know, again, for new parents that might be listening into this podcast, we also want to, I want to share kind of what's in our medicine cabinet. I'd love for Seth, you to share what's in your medicine cabinet as well. I mean, we have tons of different things, but like that fever, like at some point in time, your kid is going to have a fever. That's just what happens. Like there's, and I feel like we're also in this time right now, post COVID, if I can say that, or, you know, post whatever, after going through this experience with COVID where, you know, at the sign of a fever, people, it means something completely different today than I feel like it did 5 years ago, you know? So, people get a lot, very anxious around that. I do want to say that, you know, number one, as a disclaimer, neither of us are physicians. We're not doctors. We're not trying to give you any sort of medical advice, you know, seek the advice of your own doctors. But I would say that like in my experience of being a parent, like this has happened. In fact, some of our kids, I think my second one, she just runs hot. Like she, you know, you'll take her temperature and even just at a regular resting state, she's at 99 and she's not sick. She's just like, she runs hot. she's also my fiery one too, but she's, you know, there'd be times where I remember her fever when she was really young, same sort of thing, 104, you know, you're just like concerned. I'm like, we're Googling, you know, WebMD, which by the way, like can be really helpful, but can also be just not the way to go. It'll freak you out. You'll think your kid has something crazy. You start diagnosing yourself and your kids. So be very cautious of that. But I mean, for the most part, that is something that is in our medicine cabinet and readily available is a digital thermometer.
Oh, yeah.
Like the one that you just point at somebody's forehead and like that. I think should be, I would recommend that in any parent's medicine cabinet for sure. Some things that we have that we use on a regular, on a fairly regular basis, children's Tylenol, we use pretty regularly. Children's Benadryl is another one in our household. Obviously, I kind of talked about vitamin C already. We also, this is going to sound pretty gross, but you know, hey, look, if you haven't been there, try it out. We have this thing. Do you guys use that like nose Frida thing where you basically suck So for anybody that doesn't know about this, this is going to sound pretty gross, but basically it's a tube that you connect to your kid's nose and then you have a tube on the other side and you suck their snot out. Snot. Because a lot of times, like, especially with the babies, they can't, you know, they can't get it out otherwise. And so that's become something that's a staple. And we've fluctuated. We also have the one that's automatic. Like, it's got a motor in it.
Whoa.
And then you, it's pretty cool. And so you stick it in their nose and you hit the motor thing and it's battery operated and it's like, and it like, it's like a vacuum.
Dang.
Yeah. It's pretty intense though. And so, you know, when we used it on my son, I think he was still one at the time we used it on him and he freaked out because he was just like, what are you doing? What's happening?
Yeah.
And then he kind of got intrigued by it and was like, oh, this is cool. And he started sticking it up his own nose. So, you know, I mean, It's a good thing, though. I would recommend something like that because kids can't blow their noses, and then, you know, that gets into the throat, that gets into, you know, and then it's just this crazy situation. So they've got to be able to get the phlegm out somehow, and a lot of times that's us helping them get it out. So these are some of the things in my medicine cabinet. What's inside of your medicine cabinet over there, Seth?
That's so good. I forgot about the snot sucker. those are so awesome. So I mentioned the vitamin D, C, zinc, elderberry, and then the homeopathy stuff. There's just a whole wormhole there that we've had to like hire some people to help us, give us some guidance of like what to do in those situations. That's probably another conversation, but I would add to that, just thinking about diet stuff, like broth, like bone broth, is great to have on hand. And then really taking the sugar out of the diet, sugar just kind of makes things hard on the system in general. So, I think that's huge. And then, I think the other thing I'll say is like, you start getting to know your kid and like what their constitution is and what they struggle with when they get sick. Like for one of my daughters, it's like stomach stuff. And she just throws up a lot. And then there's other, like my other one is just very like nasal congested, big tonsils, that kind of thing. And so you kind of start developing different arsenals for like different constitutions, you know? And so I know for the coughing and the nose stuff, like having a humidifier in the room is really helpful. And then also, Vicks vapor rub is kind of a thing, but you can also do other things like eucalyptus oil with, like different salves, you know, and you put it under their nose or on their chest and that can help.
Yeah.
And even just propping the kid up with like big pillows to keep them up, you know, so they don't keep coughing, you know?
Right. And getting it back in the system and all of that. Yeah.
I got to get my wife. Deanna needs to be in here because she's really the pro. She's the one doing this.
Same. I'm over here fronting like I'm doing all the work. No, absolutely not. Like this is a team effort for sure.
I've heard these things work.
So I've been told. Yeah. But I love that you said Vicks vapor rub. There's like so many like jokes about Vicks vapor rub. And literally as I smell that, I'm like reminded of my grandparents and just like, just so many things, you know? This has been an awesome little thing of being able to talk about this. Hopefully this was helpful for those that have been tuning into this. Please make sure to share this with somebody if they need guidance. And please be able to hit us up if there's anything that we should be adding to our list of things that we need to have in the home. Don't go anywhere. We're going to do a quick top three, and we'll see y'all in just a minute.
A Tribe Called Dad. This is the top three.
It's the top three.
It's the top three.
This is the top three.
All right, here we go. We got a top three. This is top three ways you can step up when someone is sick in the house. Maybe that's your significant other who's sick in the house. Maybe that's your kid who's sick in the house. Either way, these are ways that dads can step up when somebody is sick in the house. I like these. These are good. All right, so Seth, we put this together. What is number one?
Number one.
All right, number one is it's 2:57 a.m. and someone just threw up in the house and the bathroom lights turned on and there's crying going on, right? Like, and there's everything in you, you know, your wife's probably going to be the one that's going to jump, right? She's going to sit right up and be like, something's not right, right? And then there's going to be everything in you that wants to roll over and just pretend that you didn't hear it or you're so asleep that you never heard it. And we all know in that moment, like there's a choice there, right? It's like, do I turn over and have somebody call me into the situation or do I call myself into the situation? And so I would say, get up. Like that's number one. Get up. Your wife will thank you. Like you'll go back to bed and you guys will be teamed rather than separated like in that.
Yeah. Moment. Yeah. 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 For sure. For sure. And I think just really quick, just to go along with that, it's like, this is beyond just this top three, but one thing that we should expand on later is just not keeping score.
Mm, yeah,
you know, of just like, oh, well, last time I did. So now it's your turn. No. Team effort all the way around.
Yeah. And I would say the best way to not keep score is to get up, is to actually like step in when you've stepped in 10 times and you step in again. Right. Like that's the best way to get out of keeping score.
Love it. Love it. All right, here we go. Number two. Surprise and delight. I like that we call this surprise and delight. Cancel something. Come home early. You know, you move something around. Go in late. You know, just be around a little bit more for these things to be able to help out, you know, with all the other things that maybe are going on. You know, it's not business as usual, you know, when somebody is sick. Like, we've got to make adjustments. And you know, people are pretty understanding, especially these days, I feel like, you know, and I don't know. I think that just comes down to, you know, being able to create priorities, like when it comes to just your own world.
Yeah. And part of that's just communicating well, right? So it's like, instead of just being late to something or caught in the middle of should I do this or should I do that? It's really just, communicating, hey, I need 30 minutes to take care of this and I'll be in 30 minutes late. And then you're free to go serve, right? And I found that even just those little surprise and delight moments, it takes, like, especially if your wife is more taking the primary lead, it's like a breath of wind. And it was only 30 minutes, but it felt like you were there with me all day, kind of a thing, you know, because you got home 30 minutes early. So there's just huge, huge gains there, you know?
Yep, 100%. All right, you got number three.
Number three.
Yep. Last one is be heroic. As guys, like I think we long to be heroic in a lot of ways, and to find moments and opportunities to actually step in and solve and lead and protect, right? And so that's just like in our instinct, in our DNA. And so when someone's down, It's like almost like, think of it like wartime, like man down, right? Like, so this or daughter down, right? Like whatever it is, like
daughter down.
Yeah. And so allow those like heroic instincts to kind of come to life a bit, because I think you'll think of some really like really powerful things to be heroic with. Even if it's just, you know, sitting with your daughter at 3 a.m. on the couch for an hour while your wife tries to catch up on some sleep, like, yeah, you're missing sleep, but that's a heroic act to be sitting with her for that hour to get her to back to sleep. Those things don't go unnoticed.
Super comforting too. I think as you know, there's something that we can provide as dads that is unique to being a dad. You know, it's different than if, you know, the mom does something in a certain way and it's received in a certain way. And just the same, like we have our different, you know, relationships with our kids, and they will appreciate that and it'll make them feel comforted. And I love that idea of, you know, recognizing the moment, recognizing the opportunity that you have to really be able to step up here. Love it. Incredible. Man, well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to this episode. This has been a great one. It's never fun when anybody is sick. If anybody out there is sick, we hope that you get better and get well soon. And certainly when your kids are sick, I mean, I would almost rather be sick than my kids be sick, because that's so rough. And same with my wife. I mean, it's never fun when, you know, my wife is sick and sort of just dealing with it. It's a rough situation. But we thank everybody for tuning in and hopefully you found this helpful. And if you know somebody that would find this helpful, please make sure to share this episode with them. Make sure to check out previous episodes of A Tribe Called Dad. Subscribe, like, and follow the podcast. We'll see y'all next time.
Dads are better than moms. Dads better than moms.
Dads are better than mommy. Sorry.